Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
We respectfully acknowledge the traditional custodians on which the Joy Studios stand. We pay our respects to the Wurundjeri, Boonwurrung, Taugawurrung, Dja-Dja-Wurrung, and the Wathaurong people of the Kulin Nation, and to their elders past and present.
Meat is murder.
Strange.
Occupation is a crime.
Odd.
As a black, lesbian, feminist, socialist, poet.
Weird. Out of the ordinary.
Bomb them back to the Stone Age. Say it's for their own good because their culture's inferior.
Queeries, a queer take on the world.
You're listening to Queeries on Joy 94.9. My name is Lana Wolf. A big thank you to Patrick for his Rainbow Crusaders show. Podcasts of the series to date will be out over the next few days in case you've missed them. In the studio today, you have Emma on the panel and myself, Lana. This week, Amnesty International proposed adopting a position calling for the decriminalisation of sex work. In case you missed it, a huge response against has started with many prominent people voicing their views, as we have seen with many of the debates around the queer world of late. This one's producing a lot of extreme views and outpouring of so-called facts while ignoring the experiences of countries where this has occurred. It's a good debate to be having, and it seems really fortuitous then this week that against this backdrop, we are asking the question, is sex work queer? So we are obviously going to be talking about sex work today, and therefore if you feel a little bit more comfortable not hearing about this or have listeners present that you feel it's not an appropriate audience, it might be a really good suitable time to have a lunch break. So what do you think? Is sex work queer? Email onair@joy.org.au or SMS 0427JOY949. So to start off the show today, we have an interview, and it's a really interesting interview. Are you excited about this interview, Emma?
I'm looking forward to both your interviews this week, Nana.
Our first interview is with Jane, one half of a male and female couple who decided to visit a sex worker, and this is her story.
We were interested in exploring our sexuality, and my partner is male and bisexual, and I'm female and bisexual as well. We kind of didn't know that when we started out on this journey, I guess. So we were looking for somewhere or some way to engage sexually with somebody. So we're trying to find an avenue to meet somebody who we could do sexy stuff with, but who we didn't necessarily have to have a long-term sort of relationship with or go out to pubs and bars and stuff and try and find somebody who might be interested in doing that with us. We did quite a lot of research to try and find a brothel or somebody who might be interested in doing that with us. And I spent quite a lot of time just trying to figure out the ethics of what we were engaging in. There was a lot of conflict, I guess, for me to try and resolve how I felt about issues around prostitution. But having looked at the regulation and the kind of safety aspects around prostitution and the kind of people that are engaged in prostitution, it kind of became clear that these were people who were making this decision based on their own free will and volition, and it was something that they wanted to be engaged in rather than being perhaps forced to be engaged in. So we went to a brothel and we were so nervous. We were like sweating and it was the most terrifying experience ever, just walking into the brothel. We had organised to be with somebody who was bisexual so that we could both do stuff, and we had a really good chat, and explained what we wanted to do and what we kind of wanted to explore, and she was really amazing, like just very nurturing and caring and happy for us to just kind of explore this whole aspect that we never thought we would have in our lives. And it kind of changed our relationship at a really fundamental level and gave us permission, both of us, to kind of explore aspects of our personalities and our sexuality that we had assumed would be closed off forever. So it was kind of our gateway drug into a whole community. She then came to our place one day and we had an amazing kind of afternoon with her again and have stayed in touch since then, so kind of text each other occasionally and just kind of keep in touch and to kind of become friends, I guess, from that experience. And then became involved in kind of the polyamorous community, and it just kind of changed how we do things through that single experience. I approach any kind of sexual engagement as quite an emotional, and it's not like, well, I'm paying for this, so I expect blah, blah, and blah. It's kind of a conversation, and it's an experience that you share with somebody regardless of whether you're paying them or not paying them. I think it's really disempowering to shut that experience off because, well, I'm paying, so I have these kind of expectations of what that experience should be like. And I actually think that everybody should go and see a sex worker at some stage in their life to just give them a little bit of a reality check on their kind of misconceptions and their own prejudices about what prostitution and sex work is about. Because these are just the most amazingly giving and I think gifted people who have the potential to kind of give you permission to do things which you never thought you would be able to experience. And there's a huge boost in confidence that just comes with having that and sharing that experience with another human being. You can then take into your other relationships. I don't think there's kind of a, I have this personality when I'm with a sex worker, but when I'm with another lover, I have a different personality or a different expectation. I think we're lucky, my partner and I, in the other relationships that we have, that there's kind of a really beautiful level of respect across for all of those partnerships, whether it's with somebody who we're paying or whether it's somebody who we have a non-paying relationship with.
So saying that there's no difference for you,
yeah,
and yet at the same time saying that you recommend everybody to see a sex worker, what is that specific thing that a sex worker can provide that somebody else can't?
Because they've got skills. Like, they've got amazing skills that regular folks don't have. It's kind of like therapy for your genitals, if you know what I mean. Like, there's just a kind of skill level that you don't get with regular people. Because with a regular person, they don't do it every day for their profession. And I have a great deal of respect for that profession and the kind of skills that those people have. And I think, you know, we undervalue our sexuality and hide from our sexuality so much in day-to-day life. These are people who embrace their sexuality, and I think that's really powerful to be around somebody who is in touch with their sexuality at such a kind of deep level. The pivotal thing, I think, was that we had been in a monogamous relationship for 15 years and had assumed that we would be in a monogamous relationship for the next till you die kind of thing. And so any kind of bisexuality was never going to be addressed within that context. It's a bit difficult to step forward in time to now and say, well, if we hadn't had that experience but it's still gone along this path, whether we would still have that same kind of gateway experience, because we've kind of done that groundwork now, which was made possible because of that initial experience. So I think if my partner had just gone to a brothel by himself without me, then I wouldn't have maybe questioned or discovered that, hey, I actually really like being with women. because I wouldn't have had that opportunity. So I wouldn't then know about myself now. I think the key thing is that it's kind of strengthened the relationship that I have with my partner and made that kind of richer and more alive than I thought it would ever be. Like, when you've been with the same person 15 years and there's a kind of point where you think, well, this is how it's going to be forever and that's awesome and I love him very much, but this has kind of blown our whole relationship to a completely different level that I never thought would be possible. So there's a level of openness and communication and honesty that has just changed the way that we relate to each other and the quality of the relationship that we have. So that has been huge. But then also just understanding my sexuality and coming to terms with being attracted to women, but being able to actually do something about being attracted to women. And that's such an amazing thing to be able to do when you thought that was never going to be an option. Do you know what I mean? Like, to just go, wow, there's this whole side of my sexuality that I thought had been shut down, and now I get to enjoy it and celebrate it in a way that I never thought I was going to have the opportunity. I don't think sex work by its nature is queer. I think there's some very heterosexual, straight, that's all you do kind of sex work. But I think there's a lot of aspects of sex work that are totally queer. So there's lesbian role playing, there's bondage, S&M, all of the kind of kinky play which comes into perhaps a queer perspective. It's tricky because I think a lot of female sex workers don't probably have a lot of women coming in to brothels wanting to do stuff because it's kind of this taboo area. And so I guess in that respect, there's not a great deal of opportunity to explore that queer space for women on women kind of behaviour or women on women sexuality. A bit of an outlier in the mainstream brothel scene, but I think there's a lot of queer stuff going on that really should be explored and appreciated.
That was Jane, one half of a couple who decided to see a sex worker. And although doesn't necessarily see sex workers queer, now identifies as queer themselves and thinks it's the best thing they've ever done for their marriage. So we've heard a story from a woman who visited a sex worker with her husband, and she didn't necessarily think that, although they now identify as queer, that sex work itself was queer. So what did I do? I interviewed a sex worker, Mia Darling, who identifies as queer, to see what they have to say.
I'm a really sexual person who's curious and attracted to like a really, really broad range of human bodies. For me, the work, it blurs quite a bit in my own personal kind of sexuality, if that makes sense. I know some people who go in and work leave themselves or their own sexual desires or whatever kind of like at the door and away from the work environment because that's not really what it's about. I find that all of that kind of just like comes into it. They're really, really closely linked together for me. From my experience as being a sex worker, the majority of clients that I've seen are male. So that dynamic for me kind of rings quite a bit true, although I've seen a few couples and one woman. And that was amazing and very exciting. In reality, I think that extended beyond my own personal experience of sex work, I think that there is a lot of male sex workers, for instance. There's a lot of trans sex workers, for instance. So it's definitely not just women, put in quotation marks, providing the service, and similarly with those that are accessing it. I would say that for me, I find that it is more heavily based towards touch and intimacy and almost quote-unquote connection than it is based on a going in and just hiring somebody to, like, have sex with. I find, like, a lot of it is a companionship to a degree. And I had a client just the other day explain to me how it makes it easier to leave everything else that's stressing you out and weighing on you away, and just go into a bit of an isolated and separate place where you're just getting quite attentive touch and care. This is like the service that I provide and the way that I work in clients that I see, so everyone's going to be different as well. I would say that there can be objectification, but I think that I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. There are certainly times where, like, in that process, like, I'm being admired and appreciated far more than I'm reciprocating sometimes. And certainly that dynamic does feel a bit like an objectification, but that to me feels like a consensual objectification as well, if that makes sense. I think that so much of that is also dependent on the worker themselves and how they're processing and dealing with their work and their work environment and stuff like that. Like, you could arguably say that waitresses get objectified the whole time that they're working, you know, so it's like also how much of that's going to get put into their work, if that makes sense. First of all, I feel like there's a lot of sex workers out there who only are straight for pay. I think that practitioners themselves are often queer. And so I don't know if that queerifies sex work, quote unquote. Sex work itself is queer in the sense that sex workers and services provided. The limitation of what we see in terms of people accessing sex work and what that looks like is a direct mirroring and replication of preconceived cis hetero white patriarchal ideas that we have already. I think that the broadness of the work that you do, it's almost impossible, at least in terms of my definition, for it not to be queer. Even in that situation where you're describing between like a man and a woman, because either there's many instances where either that man or that woman are queer. And I think that just the level of services that are provided are beyond what would be viewed as kind of heteronormative. And then I also think just the action of accessing a sex worker is in itself kind of against monogamy, which I feel is something else that queerness is challenges. Practitioners are often going to be queer, and often people who access sex workers are going to be queer or have queer tendencies and may not like even know it, where it can be like a gateway to like discovering that identity.
How does sex work challenge the boundaries of heterosexist, married, and monogamy narratives?
I don't know that it challenges it. I mean, I think that people are challenged by it and feel that it does challenge it, but I think honestly that it can work hand in hand and actually be quite helpful to those situations and like not necessarily challenging to them. To be honest, I feel like if someone is going to stray and is going to require attention and like some sort of sexual release or whatever outside of their committed marriage, seeing a sex worker is like the most responsible way to go about that for yourself, for your health, for your partner, for the person that you're getting yourself involved with. Marriages and committed relationships are really, really different and as diverse, again, as humans themselves. And I think that personally, I find the idea of like expected monogamy to be quite challenging for a lot of people. And I think that being able to access, you know, some sort of service outside of their home and also like sex and energies that drive sex are very different and not necessarily always mutually exclusive to love and feeling of like, you know, oneness with another person or committed relationship stuff. Like, those two things can be quite separate, and I find that sex, like, that people will access sex work when that is in balance, and not necessarily to, like, look for something else to fix it, but to kind of just, in a sense, ground themselves for addressing it. I can just think of a lot of married clients that I have, and I've heard various explanations and discussions about like their relationships and stuff like that. And it's as broad as like one guy came to see me, and basically he and his wife hadn't been having sex for quite some time. And he came to see me and realized that what he was actually missing wasn't the sex, but was just touching somebody and looking at them. And that wasn't something that was stressing his wife out. And he realized that he could just pursue that and it would be okay. And, like, that was what he was really missing, not this other thing. And I think that, like, sometimes going and seeing somebody to, like, sort that out is going to be, like, a really efficient and good investment for yourself and for your relationship.
Does sex work reinforce dominant norms surrounding gender and sexuality?
It can, but I don't think that it does inherently. Again, I think that really depends on, like, the worker and, like, the person who's accessing the services as well. Absolutely, I feel like it can reinforce that, but I think that at the same time, it can really challenge that and really turn it upside on its head. I think that the whole action of paying for the service is in itself turns that up on its head, which I think is also why sometimes you actually do run into, like, hostility towards the idea and stuff as well. I think because there is this kind of norm where, like, women walking around are meant to be able to be, like, consumed in a sexual way, like, open to consumption at any time. And in sex work, you're putting a kind of lid on that to a degree and a price on it. And I don't know, but for me often, like, there's a certain deep kind of, like, when I get, like, whistled at or street harassed or whatever, where, like, now that I'm a sex worker, I kind of just, like, laugh to myself and be like, you're paying me later. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that it kind of, like, flips that on its head where now I'm actually consenting to engaging in this economic exchange on my body and my person that I've actually been experiencing almost my entire life without my consent. There is something to be said for visibility. There is kind of an assumption. I feel like the assumption of, like, heteronormativity is so well ingrained in our society that, like, so many jobs, in a sense, aren't necessarily viewed as, like, queer people do them, but they do. There is something to be said about, like, well, it's a job, and, like, you can't really necessarily, like, queerify a job or whatever. But also by the nature of the job and, like, the exploration into kind of, like, sexuality and desirability and stuff like that, I think is a bit of, like, the last frontier for queerness. And I think that because of the lack of visibility and queerness in our society, that is, like, maybe one of the few places that it can really be flourished when it does show up. Is sex work queer? I feel like it has a bit of a radical motivations, and it has its own language, and it's monitored and watched by, like, lawmakers and stuff like that. I think that the action in terms of the non-monogamy as, like, even the worker themselves in terms of just, like, creating an environment and allowing their body to be used and give that type of a service challenges kind of, like, heteronormativity. And I think just even the concept of accessing sex work and stuff like that challenges a lot of the ideas that we have around monogamy and heterosexuality. And I think that you also have a lot of people who will end up seeing sex workers and discover, you know, for me, queerness has always been non-heteronormative sexuality. So for me, queerness is beyond bodies and can be very much about, like, just radical idea or just challenging and being and stepping outside of the norm and expectations in order to kind of, like, better yourself or something. And I think that sex work can facilitate all of those, but I don't think that it necessarily does or has to in order for it to survive.
That was Mia Darling, a sex worker whom I had a chat with to explore the question, is sex work queer? Mia thinks it can be, but it isn't necessarily so. You're listening to Queries on Joy 94.9, the show that asks the question, what is queer? And today we've been asking, is sex work queer?
And it seems it is. Consensus would seem to suggest yes.
Ah, you see, I don't know if there's consensus. We had someone email in or SMS message in and said, great topic, but what about the counterpoint? Not a right-wing perspective, but sex-positive perspective that doesn't see sex as something that can be bought and sold. That was Yossi.
And that's a valid viewpoint. Maybe my consensus should be those involved seem to think that at times it is queer.
Yeah. And sex can be bought and sold. It is bought and sold.
Yeah, it is bought and sold, and it also creeps in. When you could have a straightforward view of what the sexes we're talking about, but sex work is a very varied thing, and it's there's a lot more to it, I think, than the traditional view that we have fed about sex work.
Yeah, and I just want to make the point that in terms of viewpoints that we hear generally about sex work is the dominant paradigm, whether it's the radical feminist perspective that sex work shouldn't be bought and sold, or the anti-sex work altogether, trafficky kind of narrative. And so this is the counterpoint.
It is. Well, yeah. I think it's a good debate to have.
It is. So thank you very much for listening in today. Thank you to Jane, to Mia Darling, to Dean, who SMS'd in, or actually Facebooked in, saying, great show. That's Dean from Worldwide Wave, 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Thanks, Yossi. We've been working on shows asking, is drag queer? And also a show on different polyamorous relationships and how queer they are. We look forward to sharing your work with you next week at 12:30.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.